This is Morning Edition on KACU. I'm Heather Claiborne. Early voting is underway in Texas, and in polling locations around Nolan, Taylor, and Jones counties, voters are deciding whether to send Stan Lambert back to Austin for a second term or to give his Democratic challenger, Sam Hatton, a chance. Hatton is mounting his first political campaign as he vies for the 71st district seat in the Texas House of Representatives. He joins me now in the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start by asking you what the main issues are that prompted you to decide to throw your hat in the ring for this seat.
In Texas, especially in places where, like, we're in Ranger, Texas, where I'm from, incomes are low, period. Across the board, across any kind of demographic you can pick, incomes are down. People are poor and people are tired. And I recognize that our state legislature isn't doing anything to alleviate that situation. You know, more specifically, some of the things that we definitely need to be concerned about in Texas is education. We used to, back when I was in elementary school, we had teachers that would graduate in Arkansas and Oklahoma and Louisiana and would move to Texas to teach because we treated our teachers so well. Now, it's the exact opposite. We'll have people who go to my alma mater, UNT, and they'll go to other southern states who are treating their teachers better. We need to not only invest in teachers, but we need to invest in our students as well. And that's something that we haven't been doing for about 30 years now.
Well, one of the main issues that this Texas legislature has been dealing with is the question of how to designate the funds from the budget toward education. I mean, what do you think about the funding formula? How would you approach that question?
So one of the things in Texas is you always ask the question how you're going to pay for it first. It's kind of the first
right.
question that you ask. But one of the things that has been happening over the past 30 years is that we have had in the past good taxes, taxes where everybody paid their fair share. And over the past 30 years, what's happened is that Republicans in the legislature have cut rich people's taxes and middle class and lower class taxes have actually raised those to where the burden of the entire state is on middle and lower class people.
Which taxes are you referring to?
The oil and gas exploration tax, for one. There's a loophole called the equal, and I always get this wrong, I'm sorry, the equal and uniform loophole in the property tax code. Property taxes in general. When it comes to education funding, the state of Texas used to fund 50% of education, and 50% would come from the municipalities. As much as 70% comes from municipalities now, and the state has stopped sending that money. That's one of the reasons people's property taxes are going up. And then there's also the franchise tax. We don't have a lot of business taxes. We're a very business-friendly state, but it's getting to the point where we're not creating any jobs doing it or any jobs worth having. The franchise tax is a tax now that 70% of businesses don't pay because of loopholes that the legislature doesn't want to go fix. We have a legislature in Texas that would rather, instead of having a special session to invest in education or having a special session to fix the franchise tax, we would prefer to have a special session to talk about where people should go to the bathroom. I don't think that that's appropriate for state legislators to be doing.
Well, one of the other issues that the state legislature is dealing with on education is addressing services for students with special needs. The state got into some trouble for some apparent caps on providing those services. Texas is trying to figure out how to meet federal requirements on providing those services. Is there something specific you would advocate in Austin to make sure students with special needs are getting what they need?
I have a unique perspective on that because my first professional job was actually for an MHMR. I worked with those special needs people as adults, and I can tell you that if you don't invest in them when they're students, it gets a lot more expensive whenever they're older. I think that if we're going to look at how we're going to meet these federal requirements, that we look across the board, that anything we put forward hurts people at the bottom and people in the middle just as much as it hurts people at the top. That if we put any new taxes forward, or if we choose to invest, we invest equitably and equally.
One of the other issues in education is school safety. Governor Abbott held a set of meetings after the school shooting in Santa Fe. Some of what came out of that focuses on expanding the school marshal program. Is that a good approach? What do you think the answer for school safety is?
I think the answer for school safety is having school counselors that actually do their job. We have school counselors right now that are essentially administrators. They don't get to provide psychological services to our kids. We need to expand not only the services that they're able to provide, but actually invest in school psychology so we can recognize when a kid's going through something to where they might turn out to be, I think what you're probably talking about is a school shooter. We definitely don't want another Santa Fe happening again. And I think one of the ways that we do that is we invest in the psychology of these students.
What about the school marshal program?
I think that I will follow the district lead. We're the district, because I am going to represent other people. My ideas are great. But at the end of the day, I'm here to represent the interests of the people that I want to serve. So I want to follow the district's lead. And one of the things I plan on doing when elected is holding several town halls that deal specifically with this issue and trying to figure out where the pulse of the community is.
Well, another hot topic this election season is immigration. After some court challenges, SB 4 took effect in Texas earlier this year. That's the law that allows police officers to ask people for their immigration status during lawful stops. What would you like to see Texas do on the questions around border security and immigration?
I would like to see Texas stop overreaching. We complain about federal overreach, but when the state does it, we tend to look the other way. Border security is the federal government's job, and we have state leadership in Texas who are abdicating their role by not asking the federal government to step in and to do what it's supposed to do. I want to require and work with our federal partners to make sure that we have a strong border, but to make sure that the money for it isn't coming from Texas education, that it's coming from the federal government where it should be coming from.
Another hot issue is healthcare. Seems to be top of many voters' minds. That means different things to different people, though. What do you think Texas officials should be doing to make sure that individuals have access to the care they need, especially in rural areas?
Well, that's a really big issue here in Texas, especially West Texas. We've had 13 rural hospital closures in the last 8 years. Some women, in order to have a child in Texas, have to drive 2 hours to get to a hospital. There's no ambulance services, and that's not okay. That's not Texan. We also have a state legislature who has denied 2 Medicaid expansions because of political reasons. We need to take that money. That's money that the state of Texas has already paid for that we're not using. If we did that, we could cover over 1 million low and middle income women and children. That's just a start, but that's – and we also need to work with our federal partners in order to expand existing programs to where we can actually get care out here in West Texas.
Now, a few years ago, the state focused on improving training to pay those who work with children in the foster care system a bit better, make sure they had the training and mentor programs in place to reduce turnover and things like that. People I've talked to say that is making a difference. Do you think there's anything else that Texas could or should be doing to ensure that children who may be at risk are being identified and protected?
Absolutely. I mean, as somebody who was abused as a child and somebody who my little sister is adopted, I feel like I can speak pretty heavily on this issue. One of the things that we need to make sure that we're doing is we're focusing on all problems and not just one. Right now, we are in a good position because there are employees who are leaving Adult Protective Services to go work in Child Protective Services because at this moment, the news is with Child Protective Services. There's still not enough money there, and there's definitely not enough money in Adult Protective Services. So any conversation that we have has to be a broad, general conversation about where to fund it.
Texas is a big state, and it has a wide variety of landscapes and climates and a variety of weather-related problems. Hurricane Harvey last year, flooding and drought and wildfires this year. Is Texas paying enough attention to the questions surrounding the environment?
Absolutely not. Here just a couple of weeks ago, we had rainstorms in this area that were, I believe, record-setting for here. We went from in drought to out of drought in the matter of a week. We had so much rain that we had people having to be rescued out in Sweetwater. That's not normal. No matter where the fault lies, we can have that discussion, but we need to have the discussion of what is happening now. We can see what's happening now in front of our faces. We're having more massive storms. We're having different new types of weather events. And the state of Texas needs to take the lead because, like you said, it is a vast state. It's a huge state with different types of climates. We can take the lead and actually preparing for this rather than follow behind, which is kind of what we unfortunately have the habit of doing.
Well, as you said, the question always is, where's the money coming from? Is this something that you think needs to be higher up in the priorities than it has been for Texas?
I think so. But I think that we really need to rely on our federal partners. And there needs to be federal motion on this in order to open up some funds for the state, because the state of Texas can only garner funds in so many different ways. The federal government has a lot more power of the purse. And we need to be able to partner and rely on them when it comes to preventing natural disasters in Texas.
The environment has a direct impact on agriculture, a big sector of the economy here. Farmers and ranchers have their bottom lines hurt by things like flooding and drought and wildfires, and those things can take out entire crops. Have you talked to the area farmers and ranchers, and what are their priorities?
Right now, they're more worried about the tariffs than anything else, from what I understand.
That's not really under your control, though, as a state legislator. So, I mean, have you heard from them on the things that they'd like to see Austin addressing?
Right now, I mean, I can tell you that as the grandson of ranchers, it comes down to, where's the money going to come from? Because we have essentially two different types of ranching in this area. We have large agribusiness and we have small-time ranchers. Large agribusiness has a really good – can pay for itself. When it comes to our small ranchers, we need to be supporting them. And that's where the state of Texas has not done a good enough job.
Well, my last question for you, why should the voters in Taylor, Nolan, and Jones counties elect you as their representative in the 71st district?
Because I know what it's like to be on the bottom. I'm not one of these people that came in that's never made less than $100,000, that's never known what it's like not to want. I grew up eating mayonnaise sandwiches. I didn't stay like that. I worked really hard, but through hard work and a lot of luck, I was able to get into a lower middle class lifestyle. I think that we need more of that perspective in our state legislature, and that's why I'm running. I'm running to give our state legislature something that's not a millionaire or a billionaire perspective.
Well, Sam Hatton, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Sam Hatton is the Democrat challenging Stan Lambert for the 71st District State House seat. This is KACU. I'm Heather Claiborne.